All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a while, but I'm back. I'm back, Mocha Bar Show. I'm Gabe, as always, your host. With me, I have a very special guest. This is actually a very good friend of mine. Can't call him a guest, but Mario Cherry. He is the owner, president, founder, operator, creative director of Freckle Tech Productions. And I'm going to talk to him about what it was like to set it up, what the journey's been like. I'm just going to talk to him about him, and we're just going to basically go off wherever this conversation takes us. This will probably be one of those conversations that goes into different places and you'd be like, what were they talking about? Because we've just known each other for that long, and that's cool. That's fine. It's going to be whatever.
That is true.
Mario, my dude, thank you. What's going on?
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. It's been good having you on, man. I know you have a gig tomorrow, and I'm excited for you because I you know, we talk all the time, so I know what it's like for you to sort of be out there and do the things that you got to do. What was this like, man? Because, yo, 30 plus years working hard, you know, you were a tech, you were a tech executive, you were an engineer, then you were you've done it all in terms of, you know, our industry. What are you trying, like, walk me through this, man. What was that process? You sat down with wifey, you said, like, I'm going to do this. What was, the levels?
Well, it basically started off with being laid off. And I'll say this much, and I've had a couple of friends who have been laid off, and it has been probably sometimes the best thing that ever happened to them. Their careers plateaued. Maybe they went into a completely different direction. I decided, and I said to myself, you know what? Let me try it. I'm already unemployed. Why not? And the direction, and I've always been in the other seat. I'm the guy hiring the vendors, you know? I'm still technical, but I was still hiring them to make things happen. And this time around, now I got to learn the other side. I got to learn about the COIs. I got to learn about insurance and the getting an LLC, what the process is. I got to learn about, you know, a W-9, a 10, you know, it's like, oh, that's what that is. And that's what that's for, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I sat down with my wife, who was a little nervous about the process and everything, but was confident enough to buy me a shirt that says Freckle Tech because she believed in me. And I said to myself, let me just put it all in. Let me see what happens. I know some people. Let's see if they're willing to give me an opportunity, give me a chance, or if they even have that power. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And you know what? It's like what's happened. You know, people get laid off all the time, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your point of view. Right. And because sometimes, like you said, it forces your hands. Like, what do you have to lose? You try your best. You move forward. You know, you sit down. You have the support of a great woman, and you know, you have an amazing family. I'm lucky enough to know them, and you know, you go forward. And I think that's so key. Like people are afraid and they get stuck. And it's key not to get stuck. You have to move. Move sideways or move forward, but move.
Exactly. And I had some fears. Not a lot. I think I was pretty more confident than fearful. But every once in a while you have those days where you're like, call me. Somebody call me.
Oh yeah.
Somebody give me some work.
And yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's like people in my past was like, "Hey, Mario, I got an opportunity for you." Boom, there you go. And I think my first job was a major one. I did a job for Legoland.
Yeah,
and I did it in partnership with another company. They did the camera work. I did all the streaming and switching. I was the TD. I hired a friend of mine to assist as well. And it worked out pretty well. It worked out pretty well. The funny part is, I've been doing this already. Why am I fearful?
You know, it's funny. You and I had this conversation. I mean, we talk about this. For those that don't know us, Mari and I are actually really good friends. You know, I was with him recently, celebrated his 50th birthday.
Oh, you gotta say that out loud.
I got to put, if they know me, then they know you old.
Yeah, pretty much.
But we, you know, so we talked a lot. He's one of my closest friends. We've known each other a very long time. And we have this conversation a lot about imposter syndrome and feeling a certain way, not having the confidence, even though you're already doing the job. Like you're saying, you know, Mario was a tech executive, but he was a tech first, an engineer first, and he was doing the job. He was a video engineer. He was an audio engineer. He was doing the job. I know this firsthand. And, you know, he's one of the people that, like, whenever I'm stuck, I actually reach out to him. He knows this because I'm always, like, reaching out to him. When I was at the USTA and we had to figure out some stuff with the RF, I called him. It's like I'm constantly call people. You know, you call your network, you call your people. Who am I going to call? My closest friend. But, yeah, you're right. It's like, why are we doubting ourselves? But I'm actually happy that you're putting that out there, because I think that's a good thing for, like, the younger kids who I know that you're working with and want to continue to work with, in terms of like, hey, even somebody as experienced as us, like, we feel it. Like, I get that. Like, I'll be working and I'm just sort of like, it's okay to feel that. And it's okay to reach out to somebody to talk to. Like, I reach out to you, like, you and I, we talk all the time. And it's good to just be like, you know, step back, outside the box perspective, you know, like, put things back.
And you need those people behind you, those positive people who are saying, and I had a lot, I'm not even lying. I had people from my old job. I had most definitely you and my wife and my kids. You got this. And it's doing its thing. It's taking its time, but it's doing its thing. And I just need to continue building that clientele. And we'll see what happens, right? Or rather, let me stop saying, let's see what happens. It will happen. It will be grand.
It will happen. And it's going to be a great thing, because you know what? This is something that you were already good at. You know, there's a reason that the people are reaching out to you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you think about this. It's like, if they weren't confident in you and they didn't like you as a person, would they bother to reach out to you now? And it's like, hey, I have something that maybe works for you.
True.
You know, I think about that, and it was sort of like to my personal experience was, I started doubting myself. Like, I was getting into a tiff with one of my ex-bosses or whatever. And I'm like, yo, it's crazy. And then I remember that around that same time, one of my former bosses called me. And then I started realizing I actually get along with pretty much all of my ex-bosses. So I'm not the problem. It's like, right. So I'm like, wait a second. Like, wait, yeah. No, I know what I'm doing. Like, why am I doubting myself? Right. You know, but you have those moments. And you need to sort of like slap, like come back into sort of reality and be like, yeah. Wait, I know what I'm doing. And done that. I got this.
Yeah. I've done this 1,000 times. Why am I saying to myself, why is that doubt coming into my mind? It shouldn't. Yeah. You know, I should be my own cheerleader. I should be like, man, this is easy. Because to be honest with you, when you've done it so many times over and over and over again, it is easy. And when I don't think about it and I'm not doubting myself, I'm like, I'm on it. I'm making it happen.
It's funny, but yeah. You know, it's like people are like, oh, you're so cocky, you're so egotistical, you know, you think it's easy. I'm like, but it is easy.
There's nothing wrong with cocky. You know, it's like when I'm thinking about Mayweather, how cocky he is. And some people don't like the cockiness. You know what I say? Good for him. If he's not cocky, he's gonna get knocked out.
You know what? And after a certain time, you have to, yes, there's a certain level of cockiness that annoys you. That's usually when it's not earned. You have to look at it. How hard has the person, in this case Mayweather, worked to get to that?
He's worked hard.
You know? And, you know, it just brings up certain other like conversations. It's like, why can't you just be like, I'm genuinely happy for people. I'm not necessarily upset by people. I'm upset by people that do wrong. And there's a lot of them in this world nowadays, and a lot more visible. But I will never begrudgingly, like, I will never be, I mean, not begrudgingly, that's not the right word. I will never be upset at anyone who is successful. Why? I'm like, good for you. How does that affect me? How does your success affect me other than bring me joy? Like, I'm genuinely happy for you. So that's a good thing. It's releasing endorphins. I'm like, that's a good thing. I'm like, good. I'm happy for somebody. That's great. Like,
you get positive energy from somebody else being successful.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's. And the funny thing is I've met a lot of people. I used to work at Goldman Sachs, for example. And at Goldman Sachs, I met a ridiculous amount of celebrities, a ridiculous amount of politicians. And you find that they're really cool people to sit there and speak to. And they will give you every bit of knowledge that they can. They have no problem with that. You know, I sat down. I remember last person I think I spoke to, he probably even doesn't even remember. This was Mark Cuban. And I'm speaking to Mark. And it's like we're talking as if we knew each other for a long time. I'm like, I just met you. But we're having conversations. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It's Magic Johnson. I spoke to him and nicest guy in the world. Oh my gosh. One of my favorite speakers, to be honest with you.
That's nice.
Yeah. So,
yeah, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, for those that know me, they know I was at Goldman Sachs also. So I know that. And I'm like, people are genuinely nice. And like when they see people being successful, it was like sort of, you know, it's like, yeah. You know, and a lot of people, they look at you, how hard you work, and they're like, I want him in my circle. Like, let's do this.
Right.
You know, and it was just, that's the way that it works. That's the way that it works. So let's talk about this adjustment, because you said you had to learn about the W-9, COIs, LLC, do all of this.
Yeah, all the abbreviations that you can think of. Three-letter words.
How stressful was that? How stressful was it going from, you know, being a W-2 employee for such a long time to like, I'm the boss now.
I equate it to living in an apartment and moving to a house. When you live in an apartment, you call the super, right?
Yeah.
When you move to the house, you are the super. So therefore, when I left a company where they're doing all my HR, where the taxes are taking out automatically from my check, I got to do that now. I got to take care of all that. I have to learn the whole process, you know? And
was that easy to learn? Was that easy to like, I mean, you're a smart guy. And nowadays with the internet and ChatGPT, everything is so easy. Was that, like, what was that process? Because, like you said, you know, you had a good support system. Your wife is an amazing person. You know, your kids are there. They're smart as can be. It's like, what was it like to basically just like, wait, daddy's got to do homework. I got to like figure this stuff out.
Well, you know how it is. In our industry, everything changes every few months, right? Yeah. So homework is something that we have to do. But normally that homework was just technical. Now it's the financials and the paperworks and the legals. So that process, and I'm not going to lie, a lot of YouTube. YouTube
is university for this generation.
Listen, YouTube, I think I learned more on YouTube than I ever have in any schooling that I've ever been to. Sorry, yeah. Stony Brook University, but yeah.
Yeah, that's about accurate.
And so I don't always just take one YouTube for face value or one search that I do for, I do go to the government website, of course, but you go do your research, you find multiple people and see if they all say the same thing. And then you realize, okay, I'm in the right direction. Then you realize once you start doing it, how easy it is.
Yeah.
The only thing that you have to focus on is there's a cost to everything. You got to pay for this certificate. You got to pay for this, for the LLC, for the insurance, et cetera. And just be careful because there's a lot of sharks in the water and they're going to want you to pay for things that you really may or may not need, but you got to figure it out. Do your research, do your homework, and don't be afraid, because I know a lot of people who already have their LLCs. Those are my other avenues. You know, I reached out to them. Great people. awesome people.
It's important. You know, people don't realize it's like, why reinvent the wheel if you don't have to?
No.
Yes, there's always new things coming out. There's always new companies coming out, doing things electronically, mail only, no brick and mortar store. Everything mm-hmm. is done online, banking systems, etc. That's all great. But if you know somebody that's doing it and they've been doing it for a while, ask them. It's like, what's it going to hurt?
It's especially not now, what you said was very key. It is so much easier to do things now than it was before. Paperwork after paperwork, and it'll take you weeks to months. Now, you go online, click, click, click. 5 seconds later, you got what you need.
It's amazing because I think about it, and were I in this position 10, 15 years ago, I don't know that I would be able to be successful because the level of different information. Yes, it was still a technological age 10, 15 years ago. There was still a lot of information more available 10, 15 years ago than when we started in our careers 25, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. But still, it's like a huge, it's night and day, you know, today to like 10, 15 years ago. And I'm just thinking about that. You know, even though the way we do podcasts now is so much easier to do, you know, before you had to like create the files, you had to create the RSS feed and upload it. Now it's just like Anchor. I mean, well, not Anchor anymore. Spotify changed their name, but whatever it is, you know, it's so easy to do. All of these things are just so easy to do.
Yeah. And you got the most powerful thing in the world right there.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if your parents had that many years ago.
You know, we're both the same. Our parents actually come from the same island, different sides, you know, and they both came here in the 60s or whenever it was, 70s, mm-hmm. I don't remember. And you think about, like, what you just said is so key. Like, I'm taking this conversation in a different way. But you think about it, what could they have accomplished with the knowledge that we have today, with these little things? What could they have done? Because they came here and they were successful. They provided for however many kids it was to go to school, not be homeless, not starve. So you think about that. They didn't speak English.
You gotta give them props. You gotta give them props.
They didn't speak English.
Yeah.
Spanish and a little bit of Patois, and you know, it's like, yeah, it's like they didn't speak English and they came here.
You know what? I not at the level that they had, but I recall not the first time, but I had to go overseas for a job and I had to go to Japan. And I'm like, I gotta go to Japan by myself? And I'm in Japan. I gotta hire a crew. I gotta get to the hotel. I got to, everything in advance, of course, and then go there. And then now I got to speak to a team that I hope speaks English. But the great part was the team was awesome. The leads did, of course, speak perfect English, you know, because my mind is thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to another country. They're not going to be able to understand me, which did happen when I went to Beijing, which did happen when I went to Korea.
Yeah.
But. You learn.
You know, and that's not only do you learn, but it provides an amazing experience. And I just think about it, you know, being a, like, imagine if us being born and raised here in this country made that move when we were our parents' age in their 20s, 30s, whatever it was. Right. They were young. You know, like now we're in our late. And going, I still don't feel comfortable making that move. I don't feel comfortable moving to Dominican Republic and I speak the language. That's where it's like, you know, I don't feel comfortable doing that. I'm like, I can't imagine moving to South Korea, Russia, whatever, anywhere where I don't speak the language, or anywhere in the Middle East. And I'm like, I was forced to
feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But it was a good force.
Yeah, for sure.
The other amazing part is, you know, I was sitting in a cafe in, I think it was somewhere in China. So I go to this cafe. I'm solo. It's like 7 p.m. at night. Sit down. And the woman behind the counter is from Japan, moved to China, and now works there. The guy that was serving me was a black male with dreads who's Jamaican from France, moved to China, speaks fluent Chinese.
I gotta tell you, man,
it's amazing.
One of my favorite things, I don't remember where I was. I think I was actually in New York. And I was at a restaurant, and you see a bunch of dudes with dreads come in. Mm-hmm. You don't know they're Jamaican until they start talking, and you hear the accent. I'm like, oh, okay, they're Jamaican.
Right.
And then, you know, I hear another dude, just like the loudest, the thickest accent. And I look, and it's a white guy with dreads also, like red hair, dreads.
Yes.
And I was like, it works. I mean, why can't he? You know, like, why can't he? He clearly lived there, grew up there. And it was like,
it's where you raised.
But it was like that brief moment of like this connection between my brain and my eyes. Or like,
right.
And I was like, and then I'm like, yeah, of course. Yeah, that works.
The funny thing is, both of us being New Yorkers, right? It's a little bit more easier for us to digest.
Yeah.
But there, you know, there are times when you're dealing with somebody from another state, it just doesn't make any sense to them. It doesn't, you know, it's like awkward and weird.
Yeah. It's funny actually when you deal with people with other states, and I've lived in several states in the U.S. and I've traveled quite a bit for work in the past, and I've gotten to see people's reactions to New Yorkers and how we do things. And,
yes,
you know, I remember, you know, being told, like, why do you walk so fast? Why are you moving?
Yes.
You know, like during a setup and like moving everything fast, doing
they everything
fast.
They tell you to slow down, right?
Yeah. And I'm just like, dude, yeah. The faster we get this done, the faster we get this done. It's right. Like, right. Like my mind is like, you know, the same as yours, because we, you know, we've worked together, and it's just like, get it done.
Exactly.
Come on.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, and I'm just like, so that's always been my mindset, is like work first mentality in terms of everything. But that's pretty cool. So yeah, like I know you got a gig tomorrow. I know you've got a few more gigs lined up, and you've been going. You've been going hard. You've been like reaching out. You've been doing your thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud to see it. I'm like, you know, I'm excited for it. It's like, I want to like have stuff to throw at you and be like, yeah, do this too. But what do you hope? Because a lot of people, they start businesses for a number of reasons. One was laid off. So it was a need, a necessity. Two, they were laid off, but maybe it was just finally time to follow their passion. Three, it was just sort of like, you know what? They want something that's going to make them money. But really, it's just sort of like other people, they want their families to be proud of them. They want their kids. They want to leave a legacy. They want to be like, hey, listen, I took my shot. You may or may not pick this up, mm-hmm. but I took my shot. Like, what are you going for?
Probably the last two. I mean, one being the financial portion of it. I think, and I do notice when this becomes even bigger than it already is, that finance increases tremendously. Now, I'm not sharing it as much with a company. I am the company. I am the brand. I am the person. And most of that is coming to me. Other than hiring people, because I'm a one man band at the moment. I do everything. I'm the secretary. I'm there, you know, whatever, except everything. But the legacy part, I want my kids to see this and be like, wow, my daddy does that. And when I took them to work once, I recall they were just like, this is amazing. I took them into a studio. I took them into an auditorium. 350 person auditorium, and they were
that worked well.
They were just like, you know how this works? This makes sense to you?
Yeah.
And you know, but I think it's definitely a combination of the legacy and the finance.
Yeah. It's something, man. It's something to be proud of, man. It's like, you know, when they go in and they first realize, it's like,
yeah,
you know what to do with all these buttons. You know, we didn't tell them how easy it is, really, but it's like, yeah, I know how to do that. Yeah, Daddy Superman.
Don't you always think about that? Think your daddy is Superman when you know when you're little.
Of course, you know, absolutely, and you want to be that Superman to, you know,
you like, when they get older, you gotta show and prove now, because they start seeing you less and less as Superman. They got you know, I got a 10 and a 13 year old, so
they like, go, man, just stop it. Just kidding. Oh man, nah, listen, man, nah, this is cool, man. I'm really excited for you. I'm happy you were able to join me, because I know that, you know, we talk all the time, so I was just like, this is just. Makes sense. Just makes perfect sense just to record somebody on their journey. And like, it's like, and it's weird to say on your journey, because like, when you think about you and me, it's like we're older. Right. It's right. Like, you know, it's like I tell people I'm a grandfather and they look at me like they do a triple take. And I'm like, yeah, it's true. It's like, yeah. I got my cane somewhere. Don't make me hit you with it. But, you know, we're older, but we're on our journey. Still, like, you're on your journey.
When your journey ends, it's over. You're done.
Yeah.
And I'm not done. You're not done. You check out all these execs and CEOs of certain companies or millionaires and billionaires who are still working hard doing their thing. And they're in their 60s and 70s. Our president is 80.
Yeah.
You know? So... think of it that
way. I honestly, it's funny. I was having this conversation recently, and I don't think it was about retirement. And I don't see that.
No.
I don't see that. And it's not that it may be different than it being a money thing. I mean, at least I hope it's not a money thing.
Right.
I just think it'll be, you know, I just think it'll be a decision thing, a life thing, or like, hey, this is what I want to do thing. This is, right. I enjoy what I'm doing so much. I just want to keep doing it. Or that I'm in a position to, hey, maybe now I can go finally start that rum distillery. I always said I wanted to stop so I could stop spending so much money on rum. It's like, I don't know. It's like, but all those, you think about that and you're like, what will I do? But it's like, yeah, a journey doesn't stop, because this isn't like, the old days, 9 to 5, 25 years, retire, get the gold Rolex and call it a day, ride out on your pension until, you know, that was back when people were dying in their 50s consistently. But, you know, nowadays we're living a little longer. I mean, I don't know how long that's going to last, but, you know, you never know. You never know when you're going to go. But at the same time, it's like, why not go doing something that you enjoy? You know, I remember...
You hope that you can do something that you enjoy, you know, you hope, yeah. But you try your best. Definitely.
You know, there was this place I was at that they had this guy working there. It was a great guy. He was older than me, not that much older. He was like 52, 53 at the time. But he was an older, weathered 52, 53. Right. And he'd been doing his thing, you know. I come in with a suit and tie, and they made me his manager, which I didn't think was fair. Once I got to know him, because, you know, things don't get explained to you firsthand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then they were like, well, we need you to let him go. And I'm like, I'm not letting him go. And so they let him go. They didn't realize he was the guy that was holding this place together. He was the glue that was holding this place together. And I think what broke my heart the most was, like, maybe I heard from one of the guys that worked there, like, maybe a month after he was let go, like, he wasn't married, didn't have kids. The work was his life. Like, he passed away from a coronary. And I was just like, that broke my heart. I was like, oh, man. And I was just like, it's good to love what you do. And I guess the purpose of me saying that's a little... stories, like, it's good to love what you do, and, you know, I want to die doing what I love, but I don't want to die because I lost what I love, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's sort of like,
right.
I love this. I'm an audio engineer. I still call myself, like, you know, when you do your taxes and, you know, occupation, I still put down audio engineer. I've been doing that for 30 years. I haven't changed it. It's like all the different roles I've had in my life. Soul. And it's like, you know, audio engineer. Like, that's it. Right. That's what every single one of my tax returns say. It's audio engineer. It's like, people are like, what do you do? I'm an audio engineer. It's like, now, what do I do at my current job? Oh, well, that's different.
you're a big example of moving from one thing to another, right? I mean, You jumped into something that you had no idea, but you learned and you got better and better and better. And we've always had these conversations and you're just, you're doing your thing.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I mean, you know, and that's the thing. Again, talk about people supporting each other. And I think that's what people take for granted. It's not weakness reaching out for help.
No.
I've reached out to you many times. I've reached out to other people as well. It's not weakness reaching out for help. It's not a show of, I don't know, stupidity if you like, I don't know something. It's like, no, you don't know because you've never done it.
That shows a true leader, one who reaches out. One who allows another person to teach them, you know, leading isn't always in front. Sometimes you lead from behind.
And sometimes you lead by just letting people do, you know, you have to let your best players play, you know, managers don't go out there and play. Head coaches don't go out there and play. They have their players playing. Why? You know, it's like, you know, I think that was one of the, like the good things about you, you know, as an executive, you know, so again, you know, Mario was at Goldman. I was there too. You know, I worked for you in most of the situations that we were in. And you let the people do their job. And it's just like, let the people do their job. And that's the way that it should be. It's like, let people do what they're supposed to be doing. Most people are adults. You know, this isn't elementary school. This isn't, you don't have to handhold. It's like, hey, do what you got to do.
And we had that conversation. The worst thing in the world is a micromanager.
Yeah. It's just like, do your thing. Step it up. You got this. Right. You got this. You shine, I shine. Yeah. You know?
And let them fail. Let them fail. I'm not saying let the work fail.
Yeah.
I'm saying you have to let them fail a little bit because the only way you learn is through failure.
And
you have to do something wrong and then adjust and say, oh, now I got it.
And they'll learn from that. They will learn from that. Why? What does that, you know, what just happened? They'll learn.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way they learn. They learn by failing. There's, you know, and I hate the term failing sometimes because it's a misnomer. It's a learning experience. You know, you only fail once you stop trying. You know, it's like there's no
failure.
Even
the negative, I think the word we give certain words this negative feeling or whatever it is that you can I'm trying to think of. But what it is that failure is actually a good thing.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. You know? That's a different way. Yeah. You're right.
Failure is an actual good thing. The only way you learn is through failure. I mean, how many times did it take for the Wright brothers to make things happen? How many times did it take to make a light bulb work? How many times did it take to, you know, just about anything? How many takes were, you know?
Yeah, because I think about that. And, you know, that is true. You're right. We do have, we humans, humanity, people, especially Americans, we tend to give things a very negative connotation across things. We try to make it sound very intellectual because we want to be smart. And we want to, and it's like we try to justify it somehow. But you know, the things that should be negative, we are not negative. And the things that really are just a learning, because failure is failure, and it is a way to learn what not to do. You know, okay, I can be better because I effed this up. Let me not do that again. You know, making the light bulb is like, I got electrocuted doing that. Okay, I won't do that again. Let me go over here. It's like, you know, whatever. It's like, all those things are an example of learning. And that's sort of like the best quality of humanity. And in my opinion, it's like you're constantly evolving, constantly adapting, constantly like moving forward. It's like, I got this. Like, I can do this.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah. And that's good. I like that. That's good. Yeah. We got to stop being so, we got to stop being so damn negative.
We do. And, you know, It's the only way we progress. It's the only way we grow. We grow through arguments. We grow through failure. We grow through the tears and the heartaches. And then on the other end, once we cross that plateau, we're happy. You know, we look back and we go, remember when I fell off that bike? You remember when I, you know, when I totally messed up that meeting in front of the CEO?
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, I'm remembering, it's like all of the little things that make us, it's like somebody asked me like, what are my regrets? And I'm like, you know what? I was reading, oh my God, I forgot her name, the ex-CEO of Pepsi, Indira Nuri, I think. I forgot how to, man, I'm so mad because I was actually reading her book.
Right.
And, you know, I was reading something that she said, and then because I follow her on social media, and I read something that she said, like, you know, biggest regrets, things that she would do differently. And as much as I admire her and respect her, I have to like disagree, because going back to the failures part, there's a lot of things that I've failed at. A lot of mistakes that I've made in my life, personally and professionally. I wouldn't change anything. Where would I be?
This wouldn't be you right now if you did.
Yeah. Where would I be?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I think about that, and I've said this before, and I've made comments like this before. I'm like, it's all been, every decision I made has been a reaction to a previous decision or a reaction from someone else based on an action, and everything is sort of like compounds, and it's not always been good. It's hurt sometimes, and you know, but that's part of what makes life life. You have to sort of deal with it and move on. All right, dude. You and I have had some long conversations. I can stay talking to you forever, but I know you got an early day tomorrow, so I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna let you do your thing.
Appreciate that, because I got a bunch of things to test and make sure all well before I do this thing tomorrow.
Oh man, nah, this has been good, man. This has been good. And tell the people where they can find you, where they can find Freckle Tech, because, you know, obviously that's what we want to do here.
Oh, okay. Well, FreckleTechPro.com is where you can find more information about me. I am situated here in New York. Of course I'll branch out. Of course I'll go anywhere, do whatever needs to be done. My main focus is pretty much streaming anything. But I do delve into other things, because I've been doing it for years, audio, visual, you know, live events of any sort, whether it be corporate events, which I've been doing for many years, or weddings, or I live streamed a funeral, a couple of them. That's where we are right now. We're in a hybrid state. That's our new normal. And so people like me are pretty much needed for that. But definitely FreckleTechPro.com. Reach me there. Grab me on LinkedIn. Find me on Instagram. Find me on Facebook. Let's have a conversation. Let's see what's up.
Absolutely. Mario, thank you so much, man. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you putting me on.
Anytime, man.
And we'll just talk about people later.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, man.
You got it. Did you know?